is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Happy VSiN NFL Betting Guide release day to all who celebrate. Welcome in to the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. We're coming at you from coast to coast as always. Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi out there at his office in Ocean City. Stormy Bonantoni live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. We got a lot to get to over the course of the next 2 hours, Michael, but such an exciting day for us here at the network. The comprehensive 84-page NFL Betting Guide is out now.
Lovely. It's awesome. Isn't it great? I mean, the amount of work that went into it, and certainly Adam Burke, Bill AD, Matt Humans, whom the man doesn't sleep. He did follow the money this morning. I mean, it's remarkable. Everybody that contributed to it is really impressive. I went through it this morning, Stormy. I love your stuff in there. I love how you keep giving Daniel Jones the crap. I love that. I feel like I'm rubbing off on you. It makes me feel good. So it's really good. And I just think, to me, the NFL is a long season, and there's a lot that's happened that I missed some of it. I think you got to really – this is like a summer reading guide. You know, my grandson Dominic has summer homework before he goes into his new school. This is like your summer homework, and it doesn't – and you got to make money. You got to spend money to make money. So this is the best thing you can do, and hopefully people enjoy it.
And this is just one of two versions as well that we're going to have of the NFL betting guide, as Adam Burke talked about yesterday when he was on the show. So we have this that gets up in the summer. To help just remind everybody where players are at, how the past of certain coaches that are in new spots have been. There's a really interesting article up there. In addition to, Michael, what you have written about the new head coaches this year, following your article, Steve Mackinnon has a breakdown of trends for first-time head coaches, the numbers behind retread head coaches. So pairing kind of your executive-level experience with some of the numbers and stats and trends that are associated with those coaches, I thought was a really cool pairing that we have there. But why was that article, first and foremost, why was that the thing when you were thinking about how you wanted to contribute to the guide? Why was that the thing that stood out to you most that you wanted to write about?
Well, I think when you look at let's look at the Houston Texans as an example, right? You know, D'Amico Ryans comes in and he hires Bobby Slovic as his offensive coordinator, right? And so they draft the quarterback, solve the problem. They fix the defense that improved. And they were able to move the football with the quarterback under an offense that was pretty good. So it solved a lot of the problems. And I got to thinking, okay, which coach can solve problems of a team that wasn't as bad? Like, let's take Seattle. One of the worst defenses in football last year, couldn't stop the run. 20-13 at home over the last three seasons. Couldn't win a home game, you know, barely over 500, which isn't good for Seattle and the Legion of Boom in terms of that crowd noise that they experience up there. So, all right, what does Mike McDonald bring? He brings great defense to this to perform. The Seahawks aren't losing because they couldn't move the ball, regardless of who was calling plays. They couldn't stop people from the moving the football. So I think whenever you get that synergy that matches perfectly, the Chargers need toughness. Here comes Jim Harbaugh. I think you have to look at that as saying they could make a difference in the first season. Now, will it sustain itself? That remains to be seen. But I think you'll get a bump, a lift. And that's why I started the conversation off in the article with George Steinbrenner. And he was constantly firing managers because he wanted that bump and he wanted that lift. And, you know, in baseball, it works. In football, you need a little bit more continuity.
And we'll dive deeper into this conversation in the next segment as well. Michael, you just before we started the show posted a poll on your Twitter at @MLombardiNFL asking which first-time head coach will have the most success with their new team. So fans, everybody listening, we are asking you what your thoughts are. If you don't see the head coach you think is going to have the most success listed on the poll, get in the comments as well. Give us reasons why. That'll be a fun conversation we have throughout the course of the show today. As of right now, again, you just posted this a couple minutes ago, but we already have a few hundred votes in here. Mike McDonald so far at 50% of the early 234 votes.
People are listening.
He's the guy right now. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But like I said, this is version
one.
I'm
shocked that we don't have Bronny. Why isn't Bronny in this poll? How will we not have Bronny in the poll?
We'll save the Bronny talk for a little bit later. Give us a breath. We're starting with NFL for the Football Betting Guide Day.
I know. I'm behaving.
Proud of you. But like I said, so this is version one. After training camps are over and we are like days away, getting closer to the actual NFL season beginning in September, there's going to be another updated version of this guide that is just reminding everybody any preseason training camp injuries that take place, any other movement, things that you should take into account. So this is the guide one, but there will be a 2.0. And I love that you brought up my Daniel Jones bet. So that's one of, I put in three best bets for me, just like things that I think are going to happen this year, essentially, right? And each and every one of our hosts and experts that contributed to the guide, we did a full breakdown of who we think is going to win each division, our wild card picks, who's going to play for the Super Bowl this year, and we gave out some bets that are already in pocket for us. And one of the futures I loved, Michael, was the Daniel Jones prop under 16.5 touchdowns. It is minus 120, so I know it's not fun to lay juice this time of year, which we'll give some of those, you know, futures betting advice tips a little bit later on. I don't love the idea of laying minus 120 in June, but I can't help myself looking at that number being 16.5. The dude has only thrown more than 15 touchdown passes once in his career, and it was 5 years ago, Michael. I don't think it's ridiculous saying that a guy who's coming off of not only neck injuries, but a major knee surgery, tearing his ACL, and a poor offensive line isn't going to have a ton of success again this year. Am I crazy in thinking that?
No, of course you're not. Plus, you know, is the line better? You know, it's so funny. You know, the Giants are happy with Luminor. They're going to play him at guard. Meanwhile, you know, the Raiders feel like they got better when they got rid of Luminor. So, like, what is it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it here, you know? So I think you're right. Look, you know, past performance predicts future achievement. I think there's no question about that. And in this case, he's not throwing it. Now you say, well, they have neighbors to throw the ball to. Okay, we'll see. But what happens if they're not playing from in front? What happens if that offensive line isn't as good? And Daniel Jones hasn't averaged over 7 yards per attempt in his career. He is the only quarterback in the history of the NFL who's earned $100 million and has yet to pass for 3,500 yards in a season or throw for 25 touchdown passes. I rest my case.
Insanity. 1-5 last year as a starter, 2 touchdowns, 6 picks with the Giants averaging 11.3 points per game in those games. Actually, when he was off the field, the offense was more productive, and he's failed to throw more than 2 touchdown passes in a single game since 2019. Now I rest my case, Michael. Okay.
19.
Isn't that crazy? Okay. So last couple minutes here. Let's not go Bronny, but let's go NBA draft, because there were some pretty interesting results last night. And while I was looking at your Twitter, you seemed to love the coverage last night. You were all about it. Just such a big fan, I see.
It was so bad, Stormy. Come on. And then Elliot reminded me that last year I was complaining about the coverage too, which at some point, can some TV executive say, who are we producing this show for? If you're watching the NBA draft, okay, you and me are watching the, you bet it, you're fully engaged, or you're an NBA fan and you want to hear information about why this player can fit into what you're trying to do. And you want to hear about the trades and you want to hear about the potential trades. You don't want to hear about some kid who's going to give you the background on how good of a player he is. I've never seen, it was a celebration of greatness last. Everybody was great. Now, this guy's great. This guy's great. Meanwhile, Dalton Knott, he's sitting there. Is that how you say his last name?
Connect.
Yeah, Dalton Kennett. He's sitting there waiting to get drafted. I'm wondering, okay, can somebody tell me why he's not going earlier in the draft? Like, I watch this guy lead the league, lead the Southeast Conference in scoring. I'm amazed by him. You know, he's scoring points against all these really good players. Well, you know, somebody said, well, he's a little bit older. Well, they don't want older players. What do you mean you don't want older players? I want good players. I don't care how old they are. Well, he's not going to last very long. I'm not going to last very long. Like, seriously, this whole notion, well, we want, yeah, of course I would like to have somebody 19 who's great. But I don't understand how he went 7. But they would explain anything to me. I'm sitting there as a consumer, and all we're doing is just interviewing the like, it's ridiculous. It was so bad. And I got dumber watching it, and I don't want to get dumb watching something.
Well, Michael, and then we had Will Hill texting me last night, too, after Dalton Kennect is picked, and he goes up on the stage and he does the interview with Monica McNutt, and there's no reference of him falling in the draft or asking a question about what has been the biggest storyline of the day, but it's how would your teammates describe you? So now Will Hill, our extraordinaire who covers just about everything, he was even upset about that. The lay of the land, though, just to give credit real quickly where credit is due to our VSiN Hoops betting crew, JVT's Mock Draft 2.0 that we've been teasing this week goes 11-3, up 8.5-ish unit profit. Zach Cohen as well, his write-up on the website went 4-1. So if you were using all of the content at VSiN.com, you were having success. 1-2-3 ultimately ended up going as the odds indicated with those odds on favorites. Although Woj and his comments on Reed Sheppard got people all out of whack for a minute thinking you could cash a nice plus money ticket. Ultimately it goes Zachary Richache to Atlanta, Alex Starr to Washington, Reed Sheppard to Houston, Stephon Castle to San Antonio. And then the first big shakeup was Ron Holland at 5 20-1 tickets cash there. His draft position prop was 11.5. He goes 5. Donovan Klingon falls out of the top 5 despite being a -250 favorite to be a top 5 pick and a draft position of 3.5. He goes 7. And shout out producer Elliot's boy Zach Eady, who creeps his way into the top 10. He goes 9 to Memphis, cashing 15-1 tickets to be a top 10 pick. His position prop was 15.5, goes well under. 6-1 specifically to go number 9. He was also a +120 dog in his matchup prop, which he ends up cashing. And then last but certainly not least, Michael, the 76ers take Jared McCain. And speaking of the coverage, how'd you like them not showing a single highlight of the kid after he gets picked, but there is TikTok videos instead? I feel like we could have handled that a little differently.
Well, and how about somebody asking, like, nobody, you know, here's what I have a problem with. Okay, McCain's a good player. He scored well in the playoff, in the tournament. You know, he can get a shot off. He's a good shooter, all those things. He's 19 years old. I get it all. But the Tennessee, Dalton Kennard, he's a kid. Kennard, I mean, I was hoping for him, but I think what happened, the Sixers never thought he was going to be there. So they just stuck with their plan. They picked who they wanted. Like, why wouldn't you, we had him then after the draft. Well, he was a top 10 on our board. Well, what was Kennard? What was he? Nobody's asking these questions. Like, can't we find out? We're journalists.
Connect a 30-1 shot to be number 17 to the Lakers. His draft position prop bet down to 7.5, falls 10 spots. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber because as of today, the wait is over. Our NFL betting guide is out. This guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season with in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends. You'll have the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, of course, our experts are sharing their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. But to get the guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And for a limited time, we're offering our annual subscription to VSiN Pro for $199 instead of the usual $240. But you need to use our promo code Lombardi. When you use that code, we're also going to give you an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including the daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, our exclusive betting splits data, and of course, as I mentioned, the special edition betting guides, the NFL guide, out now. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe and use that promo code Lombardi to get 13 months of VSiN Pro. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you in to the Lombardi Line once again. And as we referenced off the top of the show, Michael did an awesome article as part of the guide breaking down all of the new head coaches in the NFL this season. We asked you guys at home on Michael's Twitter, at MLombardiNFL, if you haven't voted yet, head there now and get your votes in for which first-time head coach will have the most success with their new team. Where things sit right now, we got about 530 votes. 54.4% of the action is on Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald, 20.2% rolling with Titans new head coach Brian Callahan, 18% with Gerard Mayo in the Pats, and just 7.3% with Dave Canales. And if you're asking to yourself, Stormy, why isn't Antonio Pierce and the Raiders on this list? Well, he had 9 games of opportunity as an interim head coach last year. We wanted to give this to the guys who have never sat in that seat before. But if you think Antonio Pierce should be the guy, get in the comments. Nobody said it yet. All right, Michael, as you look at the way that things are laid out so far, do you agree with that order in terms of who will have the most success? Because I know you like Mike McDonald a lot.
Yeah, I do. I agree with it. I think Jim Harbaugh's got to be in the conversation as well. But I definitely
these were just we just did the
polls,
first team.
So
we just did the first time
right,
head coaches for this.
We
one.
Didn't move this, but So I think to me that of these four, I think Brian Callahan has a really tough job ahead of him. Right, Mayo and Canales are going to have tough jobs because they're taking over teams that are not very good. Neither are the Titans, frankly, and especially with the uncertainty at quarterback. So I do like McDonald as the first-time head coach. I think the team is good. I think Geno Smith can play effectively. So for me, I really like McDonald. I thought he was really good last year. I didn't think – you know, it's funny. I did not think Baltimore was the most talented defensive team in the league. I really didn't. I thought Baltimore was a good team. I thought that McDonald utilized his personnel extremely well. He put the players in the right positions. He got the most out of Kyle Hamilton. He didn't try to force something that he couldn't do. He made them in areas where he was really effective, and they overcame the lack of having great corner coverage. So for me, I was really impressed with him as a coach. I was impressed with him as a play caller. I was impressed with him as an adjuster. Had I been in the league running a team, I would have definitely had him on my short list of people to interview and hire, because I think when you hire a defensive coach, your team is tough. You know, everybody wants to hire an offensive coach, and Andy Reid is great, and Bill Walsh is great, but those, they're few and far between where you get your total team tough enough to be able to handle the rigors of the season. So most of the time you get that from your defense. So I was really impressed, and I like McDonald. I like this 7.5.
Yeah.
I'll be shocked if they don't go over it. They won 9 games last year with the worst defense in football. And the last 3 games of the year, they couldn't create a turnover, which is all Pete Carroll ever talked about.
Yeah, the over is certainly in play, as truly it seems like the NFC West as a division is elevating more. Like, you look at the Rams, who we thought last year were still going to be in regression and rebuild mode. They end up winning 10 games and making the playoffs. Arizona with a healthy Kyler Murray from day one. The talent they bring in with Marvin Harrison Jr. and a couple others. Like, maybe they take a step. Not that they're going to be great, but they'll be better than the 4 wins we saw a season ago. Who knows? But yeah, I like the hire with Mike McDonald as well, especially just considering what you've said about their defense last 2 years, the way they've struggled. Last season, 30th in yards per game allowed. That's an area that clearly needs improvement, and he should be the guy to do it. While we're on the NFC West, though, former 49ers head coach Jim Harbaugh on the Chargers, I know that's the hire that you are the most high on. It was interesting going through our NFL betting guide earlier today, and you see Chiefs, 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 Chiefs across the board. Everybody picked Kansas City to win the division once again, like they have year after year after year, and they're over $2 to do so, except for one brave soul, the one and only Jonathan Von Tobel. He picked the Chargers there. Do you think they could be one of the two, at least, teams on paper this year that could make a run from worst to first? I think the Bengals are the most obvious one there. But the Chargers, I know you like their season win total over. They're plus 110 to make the playoffs, but could they potentially upset the Chiefs in the division?
You know, that's a really fair question to ask, because I don't think it's as – Matt Eumanns, when he had him on the pod today to talk about it, and he certainly likes the Chargers. He has them as a wild card, but he raised the same question about could they. And I think it's a fair question because, look, the Chiefs are great, and their quarterback's fabulous, but they have to play a certain way. I think there's still liability in their offensive line at left tackle. They don't know who that's going to be. Right? The receiving core is not elite. We don't know what's going to happen with Rashid Rice. Does he get suspended? How does that happen? What goes on? Kelsey's another year older. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts. Remember last year, they struggled to protect Mahomes. A lot of the turnovers came because he was holding the ball, trying to throw it up the field, make plays. When they went back to a run game, when all of a sudden Pacheco got the ball 21 times a game as opposed to 14, their offense got better. Will they be willing to do that? You know, I think we saw it from the beginning of the season last year when they played Detroit, who wasn't a great defense, and Detroit held them. So I think there's an error. There's certainly a area where they can be beaten. And the fact is, look, injuries play a huge factor in this, and it's hard to play long seasons 2 years in a row and come back and play effectively for the third. I think that's the other issue. We don't talk enough about the long season for 49er team, for the Chief team. It really wears and tears on your players, and it creates injuries.
No question about it. The Chiefs minus 230 to repeat in the AFC West. Chargers are the second shortest shot at plus 320. And if you look at this Chargers team that went 5-12 a year ago and you say, hey, maybe that's just too big of a turnaround to expect 9 wins, double-digit wins from this team. Historically, Jim Harbaugh has done it. And you look at what he did specifically with the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco's best season in the 8 years before Harbaugh took over was 8-8. It was nearly a decade of sub-500 play. The season before with Mike Singletary, they were 6-10. Harbaugh steps in. Their win total 7.5. They go 13-3 and lose in the NFC Championship game. 2012, 10 win total. They go 11-5, go to the Super Bowl. 2013, 11.5 win total. They go 12-4, lose a close game to Seattle in the NFC title game. It's just, they continue to exceed expectations, and he's done it in every place that he has coached.
Why does he do it? Why does he do it, Stormy? I think that's the real question, right? You're so right with your numbers, right? But I think you as a 49er fan can appreciate, Jim is a very good game day manager. He does not lose the game. He coaches the quarterback, protects the football, right? He protects the ball. When you look at the bad teams, what do? They turn it over, they make mistakes, they mismanage the game. You know, football's a game you have to avoid losing before you can win. And what Harbaugh brings is that. And just by managing the game more effectively, look what Brian Daboll did his first year with the Giants. He managed the game correctly, and they won 9 games. So I think that's a big, big part of what makes Harbaugh so successful.
You know, the one retread coach we haven't talked a lot about is Dan Quinn in the Washington Commanders. You wrote in the article, his tenure won't be defined by his accomplishments in 2024, but rather how he builds this team through rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. If Daniels is good, Quinn might get a second contract. If he's just average, then he won't.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, they got a couple issues here. How quickly can Daniels play well? That's going to be an issue. We don't know. Right. I know Marcus Mariota's the backup, but can he stay healthy if he does have to go play? And two is defensively, how good can they become? You know, there are a lot of moving parts here. They've added a lot of players in this offseason. They've been one of the most active teams here. And they've got a lot of people involved in the decision making. I mean, they've got a huge analytic department. I mean, they got a huge coaching staff, a huge personnel GM staff. So I just think to me, this could take a little bit of time, but there's going to be an uplift because they're away from, you know, the bad owner. They're away from the toxic environment that was hanging over this franchise for the last 20-some years.
And obviously, he's taken over a team that Ron Rivera did not have success with. 26-40-1 in Washington under Rivera this past season. Just 4 wins, allowing over 30 points per game. Okay, we're going to hit the break here real quickly. When we come back, we'll continue a lot of this NFL betting guide conversation because VSiN's own Mike Somich is going to join the show. He had a couple props that he wrote up and why he thinks this NFL team at a plus money price is poised to repeat in their division. It was fun also looking through, again, that big spreadsheet of picks that we all have for the divisions, wild cards, and winners. He had a couple off-the-wall swings, and as Elliot Bowman said earlier before the show, if you're not going to take a swing in the NFL betting guide, when are you? So I'm excited to have this conversation. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content available at VSiN.com as well. We've got best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and of course, betting news. Speaking of which, will the NHL draft have similar chaos to what we saw last night in the NBA? Right now on the homepage, our resident NHL expert Johnny Lazarus has his picks and predictions for who will cross the stage when at the Sphere in Las Vegas this weekend. Plus, even as we enter the dog days of summer, not only can you find daily betting previews for games in Major League Baseball, the WNBA, and more, but with football season around the corner, we're already looking ahead. For VSiN Pro subscribers, the newly minted NFL betting guide Guide is out now. If you haven't hit up VSiN.com yet, you're missing out. It's your one-stop shop for all things betting content. Our next guest has picks in that guide. Weekly articles at VSiN.com. Also hosts The Handle each and every weekend here on VSiN and DraftKings Network from noon to 3 Eastern. Mike Somich joins us here now on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on X at SamaBomb18. And before we get into all of your picks and all of that awesome stuff, I got out. How's the recovery going after the birthday weekend here in Vegas? I'm glad that you made it to the show today.
I gotta say, Thursday, this is the first day my voice is back to normal. It's the first day I feel normal again. And it took a couple days to get back to it. I was telling you, Stormy, we play a lot of craps, and every time we hit a point, we chest bump and we do a shot. At 40, it's hard to do shots for two straight days and be able to come back and recuperate from it. Ooh. I'm proud of myself for going both Saturday and Sunday night pretty hard. But I will say it was Monday wasn't that bad. It was Tuesday. Tuesday was just a train wreck for me.
I bet you're not getting any mercy at home either. You're getting no sympathy at home for going ahead and treating your body like that, are you?
No, not at all, Michael. But, you know, I literally got home on my flight was delayed on Monday. It was a little bit of a mess coming back, but able to watch the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals at the airport. I get back on Tuesday, and the first thing my wife tells me is she's planning a girls' weekend. So the payback is coming.
Good for her. Well played. Yeah. Well played. And I can confirm, I think that there's something, honestly, it's like the day after you turn 30, you start getting back problems and you can't hold your liquor anymore. It's just like this weird combo that happens. But let's get into a little bit of this NFL betting guide conversation. Because you, in addition to a pick that you put in there, you gave leans and a full breakdown of the NFC West. Each and every one of us went through and picked our division winners for the season, who our predictive Super Bowl is going to be. Let's go first to the NFC North, because you are high on this Detroit Lions team, and I'm curious why you think they can repeat after going so long before they were able to win their division.
I have way too much liability in this Lions team already. I've got Goff 40-1 to win the MVP. And I have quite a bit on the Lions here, +150 to win the division. And it's a cup twofold, right? First off, everyone's coming back for them on the offensive side of the ball. Ben Johnson, retaining him as the OC might be the biggest move that we saw in the offseason, because him staying there really allows this offense to continue to flourish. Got the second year of Laporta, second year of Gibbs. So I think they're just going to be just as good on that side. I loved adding Terrion Arnold at cornerback for them in the draft. I think they're addressing some of the defensive needs as well. But this is a price play to me more than anything else. When you look at the NFL offseason, you get specific teams that are steamed. And this offseason, two of the teams that are steamed are both inside their division. You're seeing a ton of Packers money. You're seeing a ton of Bears money, to the point where the equity on both of them to win the division, if you want to be profitable, the Packers have to win about 25% of the time. The Bears have to win close to 30% of the time. The Bears have to win close to 25% of the time at those +210, +265 numbers if you want to make money. And because they're both getting bet, this Lions team, who was everyone's darling last year and is better this year, isn't taking the same money. Their early schedule also very favorable in my mind. A team that could start out 6-1, 7-1 in that early schedule. And if they do, you're going to look at -250, -300 in the division after that early stretch. So I want to get my Lions money down now. I think they're better than last year. And I think we're betting on the come on the other two teams behind them. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the Bears or Packers are going to be bad. But I just also am not going to assume that the Packers are going to be significantly better and the Bears are going to be significantly better off of last year.
All right, so you have a really interesting play in the guide, and I'd like you to explain it to the audience. You want to take the Cardinals under 6.5 wins in the preseason, but then during the season go over after week 6.
Yeah, I love playing these win totals where you can try and create a middle for yourself. And there are certain teams that I think you have that advantage every single year to do so. And this Cardinals team to me is a perfect example of that. It's a team that I do think's improved. Look, they're going to be better on the offensive side. You're getting a full year of Kyler. There's still some defensive question marks, but those were there last year. And then you look at this schedule and you specifically look at those first 6 weeks. You've got the Bills, you've got the Lions, you've got the Rams, you've got the Niners, you've got the Packers. Those are 5 tough games. You could see them be 1-5 or 0-6 going into week 7. And then you look at the back half of the schedule. You've got the Chargers. You've got the Vikings. You've got the Patriots. You've got the Panthers. A lot more winnable games in the back half of this schedule. If you play the under preseason, under 6.5, and let's say this falls pure for you, and we've got the Cardinals sitting there at 0-6, you're going to be able to come back in at over 3.5 and have that 3-game middle there where if they win four, five, or six games, you're cashing your under and you're cashing your over. So it's a great opportunity with the way the schedule played out to try and create yourself a middle here rather early in the season.
Mike Somich, host of The Handle here on VSiN, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. And I think that that's such great advice for like all bettors right now this time of year as we're doing our research and prep for the season, to look at schedules and try to find those spots where, hey, maybe the perception on this team is down, or we can buy in, or the back half of their schedule is more difficult. We can approach it from this angle and just have that preseason planning for ways that you want to attack some of those in-season bets. You wrote up the entirety of the NFC West. Was there another team or another bet that you had maybe most confidence in the division?
I'm really interested to see what the 49ers do here. They're one of those win totals that's really high up there, 11.5 right now. And I'm not sure I can just assume they're going to be able to get there again. They ran really pure with injury luck last year. You only saw that one stretch where they lost Williams and they lost Samuel, and you saw them really struggle when that happened. I also just don't trust the offensive line depth here for the 49ers. If anything goes wrong for them on the offensive line, they're extremely weak behind that first unit, and that's going to cause a problem for you when you want to be able to run a little longer plays like we see in the Shanahan offense. And when you have a run game, which you're really relying on, if all of a sudden that offensive line goes down, I think it could spell trouble for San Francisco. And additionally, they're not as good defensively this year. That defensive line also weaker than what we saw last year. So this is a Niners team, which I think a lot of people are assuming are similar to what they were last year. And in my mind, they've gotten a little worse. And all three teams behind them in division have gotten a little bit better. So the Niners under 11.5 would be the other bet I really like here. I'm almost tempted to play the Niners under and the Seahawks, Rams, and Cardinals over and just try and go 3-1 and win two units that way, because I do think that the Rams and Seahawks both improved in this offseason. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Niners do. Injury health is going to be huge for them. And then what are they going to do with Ayuk? Is he going to be unhappy all season? Is that going to cause an issue in the locker room? I think that's the other thing you got to focus on this Niners team. A lot more question marks this year in my mind than last year, even though the big one last year was, can Purdy repeat?
What do you feel like you're most certain with? Do you think the Rams over 8.5, or do you think Seattle over 7.5 if you just played those straight?
I'm more certain with Seattle over the 7.5. I love the Rams offense. I love the fact that you're going to get a full season of Kyron Williams. You've got Puka Nacua. Kupp's healthy again. But the defense for the Rams losing Aaron Donald, there's just not much there. And so how they're going to consistently stop people is a big concern for me. And again, the market loves the Rams. The market doesn't love the Seahawks as much. And this was a Seahawks team I liked last year. I love the Mike McDonald move, adding him as head coach, getting in a new OC. I think that's going to help them as well. So I would rather take the team that's getting ignored a little bit more in Seattle than taking the team that I think has some really big defensive holes with the Los Angeles Rams.
Mike, I was looking through our full like host and expert predictions page that we have here, and there are two divisions when everybody else is zigging, you're zagging in the AFC North and AFC South. In the North, everybody's going Bengals or Ravens, you go Browns. In the South, everybody's going Texans or Jags, you're going Colts. Can you talk us through those two picks and why you think they could have a shot in their respective divisions?
Well, let's start with the Browns. Look, last year's coach of the year won that award because of the injury issues. That offensive line was destroyed. That running back room was destroyed. That quarterback room was destroyed. They even had defensive injury issues. If they can just run on the right side of injury luck, I think the Browns have as good a chance as anybody winning that division. And they've got a significantly better price attached to them than the Bengals or than the Ravens, where I know a lot of people are going. And then the AFC South, I don't fully trust the Jags. Their offense lost talent in the offseason. And then you have Houston, who, look, they are great, but they're another buzz team in my mind. They're getting overbet, overvalued in the current situation. So for me, I'd rather take a shot with the Colts, who have Anthony Richardson coming back second year. I love what Shane Steichen did. Everyone forgets they're a dropped fourth down conversion from winning that division last year. If that had happened, what's their price this year? And so to me, I'll take a shot with the numbers here with both the Colts and the Browns in those division.
And real quickly, I know you've got a couple Major League Baseball plays today. Go through them for us.
Yeah, I want to play two games today. The first one here is going to be Baltimore. We're going back to one of my favorite bets here. Will not bat in the bottom of the ninth. They're 210, minus 210 on the money line. You get a minus 140 to not bat in the bottom of the ninth, so we'll get a little bit of value there. And then the Cincinnati Reds today, I like them. They're pitching matchup quite a bit. You got Abbott on the mound against the Cardinals. They're plus 120 to win the first five. So we're going to go Reds first five, plus 120. And we're going to go Orioles, not bat in the bottom of the ninth, minus 140.
He does it all. Mike Somich, everybody. Thanks so much, pal.
You got it. Have a good weekend.
Follow Mike on X at SamaBomb18. While you're there, also head over to at MLombardiNFL and place your votes for which first-time head coach will have the most success with their new team. Mike McDonald continues to be a runaway right now, over 57% of the vote. Storm warning coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide is out now and is jam-packed with everything you need to bet this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends you won't find anywhere else. And of course, our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, props, and more. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or you're somebody who's just getting started, this guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of the guide, we're going all out today. Expert NFL analysis, insider tips, and insight to help you bet, start betting the season strong. VSiN.com/guide is how you can get your copy of the all-new NFL betting guide today. Again, that's VSiN.com/guide.
Oh, my favorite time of the week. And we got a special edition of a storm warning. We got a special storm coming. This is all football betting guide related. So with that as a backdrop, I want to see my favorite fan base, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Chicago Bears. Everybody loves to bet on those teams. Nobody is more enthusiastic about betting but the Bears fans and certainly the Steelers. But you have some advice for the audiences to avoid that trap.
So, Michael, I will never dog anybody for wanting to bet their favorite team to win the Super Bowl. Have your fun, play whatever you want to do. But if you want to have success long term, you've got to eliminate the bias, right? Bet with your head, not with your heart. And that goes whether you're betting on a team or player or against one, right? You're going to feel better about your bet if it's backed by reason and research. And just like we were talking about a moment ago with Mike Somich on the program, he mentioned that he likes Jared Goff to win NFL MVP. You don't have to think that Goff is Mahomes and believe that he's the best player in the league to think that 40-1 is probably a little bit too long for that wager, considering the situation that he has in Detroit. We talk about how good he is not having to play outside. They only have 3 true outdoor games all season long. Last year, 2nd in passing, 3rd in yards per game, 4th in touchdowns, 5th in completion percentage. They make the NFC Championship game and are probably going to be better this year. 40-1 feels like a stretch. We talked yesterday about the Bo Nix pick. Matt Brown and Femi Abebefe both wrote up him at 18-1 for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Matt Brown summed it up great in the guide. Quote, "What my personal opinion is of Bo Nix and how good he can be in the NFL is irrelevant to this discussion. This bet is about price and opportunity." And I just think overall, it's a good reminder as humans, we can get caught up a little bit in perception and what we want to have happen instead of the reality sometimes of what actually is likely to happen.
Great, great, great advice. And carry that over to every part of your life, but especially in the betting world, is sometimes we have to have an open mind leads us to an open betting book. And we think of things in a different way because as the great Bill Walsh said, if we're all thinking alike, no one's thinking. So we're 10 weeks away from the kickoff of the regular season. It'll get here faster than we all think it will, right? There's only so much sun and beach we can handle. So what's the best way bettors should take advantage of this downtime?
Yeah, I mean, some people think that the NFL season starts in September, and that's just laughable because we all know it started back in February and March already. So while we still have another month before training camps and time before we get to those day one, week one games, use your summertime wisely. Use this time to research, dive into the schedule, get caught up in who's where across the league, and recognize actionable trends as well. Going through the guide, some really interesting nuggets here. Rookie quarterbacks, for example, in recent history tend to have slow starts. According to Steve Mackinnon, over the last 21 week 1-3 games, rookie QBs 218-1 straight up, 515-1 against the spread, averaging 16.6 points per game. So look at Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. Those early schedules, not gauntlets, but rookie quarterbacks with two of their first three games all on the road. Remember these nuggets. Find these trends in awards markets. Look at criteria and awards history. We talk about the comeback player of the year criteria changing this year. We have a little bit of guidance. Use that to eliminate players from who you might have in consideration. Christian McCaffrey is the second shortest shot to repeat for offensive player of the year this year. When's the last time there was a repeat winner in that market? Marshall Faulk, a quarter of a century ago. These things don't happen. MVPs go to quarterbacks. Like, know some of this information, criteria for awards markets. Now is the time for you to dive deep in your research before the season starts.
And you do a great job of researching because you're sitting there on the sideline of college football every week. And how long does it take you to prepare for a college game that you're going to be sideline reporting on?
It takes a hot minute, Michael. And we do all this preliminary preseason preparation to get ready. Mm-hmm. But for me during the year, like, I'll do my game on Saturday and I'll find out my game on Sunday. So while I'm watching all of the games for the NFL, I am like diving into everything that I can get mm-hmm. in my wheelhouse as fast as possible, and doing my summer research ahead of time and having my like Cliff Notes versions helps me get a head start. So absolutely important.
Yeah. So we talk about betting future markets all the time here on VSiN, and we look at lines down the road. Week one, of course, you just mentioned all the MVP and all the award odds that won't pay off until January mm-hmm. or February. So, and there's, you know, there's no way you could just go play games. But what is the caveat? What is the best way to be prepared to tie your money up for a long time?
Yeah, you know, we're always talking here on VSiN about the importance of bankroll management, right? And don't, you know, bet a certain figure if you don't feel comfortable losing that amount of money. Well, it's the same concept in futures. If you don't feel comfortable not being able to access funds or cash a ticket, in some cases until December or later, maybe these markets aren't for you. Or at the very least, you need to have the awareness that you should potentially limit how many futures bets you're placing so that you have the cash flow you need once we're in season. Also, if you're placing bets this early, I would recommend trying to find more of those bang for your buck type bets when possible. It's probably not the most satisfying feeling in the world in June to be laying a minus 150 or a super heavy tax price for certain markets if you're unable to cash that ticket for a really long time. And as a reminder as well, like we talked about with Mike Somich, you can bet futures in season two once you have a better feel for a team, a player, or a division.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing a little more research once the game starts. So we're at VSiN. We recommend betting with DraftKings, obviously, but we encourage weighing other options before placing a bet. Tell us why that is so important, Stormy.
So, I mean, line shopping in general is vital. Having multiple applications for you to find the best number is so important. And there's a great breakdown in the guide from our own Matt Williams, giving tips for attacking prop markets. But one of the nuggets on line shopping I thought was excellent was detailing how significant this can be for bettors over time as you're betting regularly. So here's the Cliff Notes version. If you're a $100 bettor that makes 100 bets, you win 60 of them. At minus 110 odds, you're profiting just shy of $1,500. If you're placing those same bets at minus 130, it's a $615 profit. Significant difference. You're placing those same 100 bets at minus 150, you're just breaking even in the market. And I think from a futures conceptual perspective as well, as we look at a lot of these plus money type bets, right? We talk about Mike McDonald for Coach of the Year. If you see one sportsbook has 18-1, $100 to make 1,800, that sounds great. But what if you could get 22-1? What if you could get 25-1 at another sportsbook? So having that resource at your disposal, it's just one click to go from app to app. It's very quickly and easy. It's an easy thing for anyone to do anytime. Have those different applications at your beck and call so that you can find the best number available. Because in the short term, you might think, oh, minus 110, minus 120, that's not that big of a difference. Over time, it's significant.
Yeah, no question. Okay, so while the numbers change, NFL futures will still be posted throughout the season, and you're encouraging our audience to prepare accordingly.
Yeah, again, this was another conversation that Mike Somich talked about with the Arizona Cardinals and how he is targeting, he likes the one version of the season win total early on, but he thinks that there's an opportunity for a middle in the season. For me, I think that it's great now while we have this time to research, as we reference, to plan for certain situational spots and in-season futures. For example, I love the Los Angeles Rams this year. I like them to make the playoffs at +120, but the bet I like the most is over 8.5 wins. I don't want to lay -155 right now. So you look at their schedule, and while yes, their schedule is obviously baked into these prices, the Rams open the season with road games at Detroit and at San Francisco in two of their first three games of the season. Even though, again, the schedule is baked in, I think we're going to have perception and recency bias that could drive the juice of that price down a little bit if they start out 1-2 or 2-3, 2-3 like they have the last 2 years in terms of their early starts. I think instead of maybe -155, that creeps down -130, -120 in that range, and you're getting a better price on the same bet. And something that Matt Brown and I were talking about this weekend on the handle was you can just set a little reminder in your calendar, like after week three, check in on this team and just remind yourself about certain opportunities to bet.
I love it. And that's so good because you're going to get numbers. I mean, we talked about it during the NBA playoffs, right? You may get a better number for Boston once Dallas won a game. Great advice. Great job, Stormy. It's all good. Love it.
Thanks, Michael. I want us all to have success this season, right? I want us to have fun betting the NFL, get ahead of some good numbers, cash some tickets. Okay, you hear that music. Hour one is in the books. Boy, did this go by fast. One more to go as our VSiN NFL Betting Guide release edition of the Lombardi Line continues. Get your votes in for the poll. Plenty more coming up next.